Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for June 4th, 2023. I'm Christine Aller. I never introduced myself ever, but I'm Christine Aller, creator, coach of the Creating Cash Flow program. And I have questions today. So we'll be going through those. When we finish with those, if there's time, the floor will be open. So if you have something else to talk about, raise your hand. Okay, Beth, cash flow. You're a tiger, not a cat. She is an actress, but also has a law practice. And so your question, you hired additional support. Congratulations. Thinking it would make me more productive and profitable, I'm concerned that training is an uphill battle and it's making me lose money. The whole idea was to delegate tasks and have my assistant focus on things, and then I can focus on stuff that requires my lawyer skills. And you're nervous about having the funds to hire staff and then still feel drained and spread too thin, even though you have help. So the first thing I want to just say is that usually when you hire help, there is a learning curve. It does go slower and then it should get faster. And that's what keeps a lot of people from just sort of doing everything themselves, it keeps them doing everything themselves because they're like, well, it's just faster because I know how to do it. And it's like, yeah, but if you took the time, slowed down a little, taught somebody something, then it would be off your plate and you could put something else on your plate. So that's where you're at. So how can I help you?
Well, I guess it's because this is about money consciousness. It's my fear that, you know, I'm still going to do everything myself. I'm going to spend money to pay people who still aren't doing it correctly. And I'm going to be worse off than I was before.
Mm-hmm. So valid fear, by the way, like I understand the mind, the lizard brain is like, what do you mean you're hiring people? It comes out, sits on your shoulder and just starts. This is ridiculous. See, they're not doing it right. So how have you gone about training your person? Have you introduced them to one set of things you would like them to do?
Yes. So let me give you a little bit of a background. I had a colleague who's really skilled. Design a Dropbox system for me. And she even created a training manual. So first I shared that with them, but I had to introduce them newly to the concept. So I'll give you a little bit of background on who I hired. I have been working from home. I needed to figure out how I was going to work with people, whether in person or remotely. So the light bulb went on that there were women in my acting class who were looking for extra work, who are really smart and really competent, but they were not, you know, they didn't have a background as paralegals. So I needed to get them up to speed. And, you know, one of them did, who was actually really interesting background. She went to medical school. She was an English major and decided instead of becoming a doctor, she'd become an actor. But she did background research for me on publications for my cases. And that was great. She did a great job. But I have another one who I've assigned a case to, and I realize there's a lot of explaining, but I'm trying. Yeah, I have met with her in person where we brought our laptops together a couple of times. But there's a learning curve to figuring out how to put things in the right place in organizing the files. But I actually hired people because the person I had doing it, I was having to redo her work and I was tired of that. I wanted to get people who could put things in the right place so we wouldn't have to redo people's work.
Mm-hmm. And when you're assessing the job, is it one person or two person people right now? One.
Okay. So what happened was I had one part-time person and then I added two women from my acting class to my Dropbox system on a part-time basis. And part of it was investing in systems. I had to pay for two additional people on my platforms. That cost some money up front. Mm-hmm.
And as you're assessing their work, are you feeling that they just haven't learned enough?
Yeah, I think they're smart. I mean, I think they're smart and it will work out. The second one I haven't assigned yet because I need to get far enough ahead to bring in more cases. And then I have another situation adding to this where my career counselor from my graduate school, not my law school, but I went to an interdisciplinary graduate school also, asked if I could help with some positions for recent grads. And I had a number of people who were interested in helping. And I think I have one who I'm going to ask to write the support letters, which is something that preferably you need a legal background to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, it's going to be then that's going to be more money, but I'm hoping that I can turn it around and make it more profitable and bring in more money and, you know, more cases if I get some of the stuff off my back instead of doing it all myself.
Okay. And it sounds to me like you're saying, I feel like I have good people on board. I feel like I have a system that we can all work with. And it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, I get pulled in different directions with my work. And then because these people have like 2, 3, 4 jobs, because a lot of actors do, it's a question of finding a time when we're both available to review things. And meanwhile, the client's asking, when is my case going to be done? When is my case going to be done? And I could just take it and do it all myself, but I have a million other things I'm doing and I'm trying to train somebody else to help so that I don't have to do it all myself.
Right. And so is it possible for you guys to have a time sometime during a week where the odds are you guys would be able to make that appointment?
I mean, we do. We find times when we can. We've been meeting mainly on Zoom. I had people, I met both women together with our computers one time to try to show them how things worked. And I think it's syncing and I think they get it. Mm-hmm. And then I can meet with them virtually on things mm-hmm. too. We meet virtually and share screens also.
Yeah. So I think sometimes this, just throwing it out there, sometimes something that helps is to have a standard set meeting every single week. Virtually yeah. get together. They can ask you questions. You can review things. You can just so that they're like learning during the week and then getting to ask you questions so that next week it'll be, they understand yeah. what they should be focusing on. And, mm-hmm. and having that meeting also forces you to get very organized with what you want them to be doing, what you want them to be doing next. Because oftentimes we're the bottleneck with our assistants. We're the ones who's like, I'll get that. Our disorganization lets them just kind of sit there sometimes.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, no, I was having that with my part-time person, but part of it was there were other things going on. Her first language was not English. And things were not always organized the way I wanted them to be. So it was easier for me to just redo it myself. But I'm trying to overcome that and get people who are really good in English to help me organize it in the first place so she can do the tasks that are easier for her. And then we can get the system flowing more smoothly.
Yeah. I mean, it's very important, especially because you're kind of a one-person shop, to find the right people.
Yeah.
You know, if you need English, you need English. It's not, it's just, that is just like a literal requirement.
But I also, at the same time, I'm working with translators in different languages. So the last mm-hmm. case I've been working on is we're working with documents in Turkish. So I have to hire a translator from Upwork to translate the Turkish into English so we know what it says, right. So we can then organize it properly.
Yeah, that's a specialty person that you hire when you need that specialty thing. But for someone, yeah. for your particular job as an assistant, if there's a language barrier that's slowing things down, that is going to cost you money.
Yeah.
And that's probably the wrong person in that position.
In that position. So I'm trying to get the other people to organize things properly, put them in the proper order in English, write a proper index in English. And then the person whose second language is English, she can organize a PDF file, just take the documents and put them in order in a PDF file so that the other people don't have to do that task.
Okay. So then what I hear is you're like, okay, I'm going to bring these people on. They're in training mode. They're getting up to speed. They're really smart people. I like my choices. I'm paying them. You then have to decide, what is the criteria? What am I going to look for that's going to indicate to me they're now allowing me to make more money than the cost of having them? Like, when does that tipping point have to come?
And that's something I'm not really good at. That's not my strength.
Yeah. So how much money do you need to be bringing in so that you can pay them, but still make enough money to float your own boat month to month?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Well,
number?
It depends how many hours people do. But, you know, one reason I had this person working for me was I was only paying her about $500 a month because she was only working about 20 hours a month. Now, this other person I worked for, she billed me about the same for about 20 hours. But I think that was only for like a couple weeks of work. So the thing is, if I don't give her more work, if she doesn't do more work, I won't have to pay that. But I'm actually doing contract work for other attorneys to bring in money to cover my own expenses. But you know, I could bring in more cases, but part of it is reviewing the cases to make sure that they're winnable. And I'm still trying to get a handle. Some cases are clearly winnable and some I'm giving people feedback to figure out whether I should take their case or not. So it's a screening process before I, you know, it works both ways that I have to assign people to the case, but they have to qualify for it also.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like this is a numbers situation for you. This is really about numbers. I have time to bring in this much income producing work and get it done so it can produce the income. And then this is my expenses with my team.
Right.
And there's no like hard, fast rule. It sounds like you're happy with your choices and it sounds like you can afford to pay them. So I'm just wondering, like, is this something you're going to assess in the third?
I guess I'll have to assess. It was an idea. You know, I was thinking, well, this might be a good fit because, you know, I don't have an office space where I could hire conventionally, but these are people who want extra money, who are bright and willing to do the work.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds like you've made logical choices. It just sounds like you have to run the numbers after the ramp up period. You know, so maybe you say, okay, at the end of September or at the end of October, I'm going to run my numbers of this is how much I've pulled in. This is how much, these are my expenses. Is it worth it to have this expense of an assistant or assistants for the amount I'm pulling in?
Right. I guess I'm just going to have to see how it goes.
Yeah. Yes. And manage your mind about like, oh, I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm not going to, I mean, maybe you, there's no need to worry because maybe you'll be able to afford them, but maybe not. You just have to see. But yes, assistants cost more money in the beginning because they have to learn your business. So you're doing a good job. I don't see anything like, whoa, red flag.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a certain amount of fear, but I mean, I usually manage to pull it off. It's just the goal was to make things easier. And at first it's not.
Yeah. At first it's not, but then you have to ask yourself, you know, I needed to start being easier. If it just continues to be difficult, like Kate is on our call now and Kate is my assistant. And we've been working together, I don't know, like over a year for sure. She'll have to let you know. And, you know, in the beginning, it's like she has her learning curve. But the thing I'm always asking is, because the number one thing of an assistant is they need to make your life easier.
Yeah.
If Kate was like not understanding things, you know, a year into it, not understand things, taking a long time, asking me just a bunch of questions that were repetitive, not understanding things when I kind of explained them once or twice. And just when I thought of her, I felt heavy and like, okay, I gotta, that's not the feeling you want to have with an assistant. You want to be like, oh my God, I love Kate. She makes it easier. I can throw this at her. You know, she's just, she's on it. I see evidence of just her being helpful, even outside of when I'm asking her direct things. It's just like she, when I think of Kate, I think she makes my life easier. That's the feeling. I wasn't judging her on that for the first couple months. It was both of us kind of like, is this going to work? Do we like it? What's going on? But then as, you know, 3 months, 4 months, then it was just like, oh yes. Okay. Right person in the right position, doing the right things to make my life easier. So I would say, give it 4 to 5 months, assess how you feel, assess what the numbers say, you know? Yeah. That's all you can do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, but you're not doing, I don't see you do anything wrong. It sounds like you've made good choices. I love that you're putting systems in place. It only works with systems. Good, good. Yeah. Thank you, Beth. It was really good to see you again.
Okay, nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too. Karen, Eileen. Okay, we have a cash flow cat. Everything, her side business, her business, everything that supports her performing life. She is a performer. So she coaches, she speaks, she sells stuff. And victories, you completed tracking 6 months of your data. Amazing. You allowed yourself to admit and fully feel your exhaustion in terms of this career and money stuff. 100%. Yeah. Your bills are covered for June. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you're going to reach out to Elena for QuickBooks training.
Yes.
Which you wrote, I never in a million years would have considered this without this course. This is so great. You're getting all your
no way. Ducks. Yeah.
Your little ducks. You're hurting your little ducks.
Oh,
bro. I love it.
Okay.
So two questions.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. Let's talk about the mindset first. So you're realizing how deeply exhausted I feel from the energy drain of the long time financial roller coaster, under earning some really big family life stuff. Mm-hmm. The thought dawned on me that I may want to consider taking on a full-time gig for a finite period of time to get a rest from what feels like 10 million little side hustles that you're attempting on a mostly empty well. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
So you're asking, like, how do you assess the choice of maybe taking a full-time job? Is it too polarized? What kind of time limit? And what is a new empowering narrative you can tell yourself when your inner mean girl tries to convince you, oh, look at you giving up on your creative career. Yeah. Oh, that old story. Okay. So let's talk about that first, because there's no way to even look for a job unless you are in the mental space of like, this is the right thing for me to do. This
Wow.
You know, you, because when you're ambivalent, you're out of alignment. If it, you can't be like, I want a job, but I don't want a job. People will sniff that. They'll smell it on you. They won't understand. They won't know exactly. They'll just be like, I don't like the smell of that. Because people want to hire people who at least display enthusiasm more than position.
Yes.
Okay. So the narrative, the old story, I mean, the lizard, it doesn't even have to do any work for this story. Oh, no. Look, you're giving up on your creative career. I mean, that's an easy one for every performer. Yes. Any whiff of you're giving up brings us to our knees. I know. Mm-hmm. So what is a different narrative?
Well, I have to tell you, like, I'm newly hopped on the Schitt's Creek bandwagon. I don't know how I was on the planet and never watched it, but somebody introduced me to it over the holidays. I literally think I've binge watched it like 12 or 13 times, and I just keep repeating it because I love it so much. And there's just a moment where the David character has bought some eye cream from Paris, and he's interviewing for a job, and they do a mock interview with his father. And he's like, well, you know, Dave, Mr. Rose, why do you want the job? And he was like, I need eye cream. And he's like, eh. And then he resets and he's like, Mr. Rose, why do you need the job? I don't want this job. Eh. And it's like, so that is where I have been. I need money. Eh. I have these other things I want to buy. And the minute I get an acting job, I'm going to leave you. Eh. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so the new narrative I only came up with as I was writing this question to you, which is, temporarily, I can look for something full-time, knowing that the purpose is to empower me financially and produce some relief. I don't know how that's going to be when I'm in it, but that I can say that I'm willing to try that on today.
Yeah, like all of those things can be true. I know. The goal here is not to get you deep at the core to be like, I want this job. No, you don't. You want to be on set.
Yep.
You know it. I know it. You want to be being paid as a performer.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But you're not at the moment today. You're talking to me right now. You're not on set. Like, not being paid to be a performer. So meanwhile, you could do something in support of your creative career. When I worked at a off-brand Xerox store, which I did, that was my first job.
Wow.
Copies, okay. Color, you know, color copies were just a new thing, ladies and gentlemen, back in the day. I was not a girl at a copy store who wanted to be an actress. I was an actress who happened to be working at a copy store to pay for things that would help her be an actress. My mindset was like, oh, no, no, I am not. Oh, no, I'm working at a copy store. It's like, no, no, I'm an actress, but I need to pay the rent and I need to pay gas and I need to eventually get a car.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. So yeah. This job is in support of your creative career. This job can't just be, this job is to pay my bills, to get me out of debt. It's like, that's not sexy enough. That's not compelling enough. This job, I am taking this job so I can lay the foundation for the next chapter of my creative career. This job is in service to me as an artist.
And how do I know you've talked about it in here before, and I really feel like it would benefit me to hear it again from this place. So near future scenario, I'm in a full-time job that I feel like is a good fit temporarily. And along comes a gorgeous acting gig.
Yeah.
And it's just, thank you, job, bye-bye. Or do you know what I mean? Like
there's lots of options. You know, you have four grandparents. So grandparent one dies, you have to, you know, tend to that. Grandparent two die, you know, like, you, by any means necessary, you figure out, because if you want to be a performer, everything in your life has to be in support of being a performer. So that job is there to help you be a performer. But the goal is to take the opportunities, paying ones, to be the performer.
Mm-hmm.
And vacation, sick days, family emergency leave, whatever you need to do,
okay,
to go on set for those days of that week and then come back to the job.
Okay.
And then, of course, you always have the quitting of the job thing.
Oof. Okay. My mindset needs some love around it, because even talking to you about it, that feels so epically stressful. That at any moment, once I find a job that I'm a fit for, I may choose to leave it and need to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that answer is. I'm very aware.
I once had a client. We were having a session, and she was, you know, I was trying to figure out what was her, she wanted to be an actor. Like, she was acting, but she wanted to be an actor, but she was having all this stress about her career. And she's like, well, I don't want to move to Vancouver. I'm like, well, wait, who said anything about moving to Vancouver? So many shows shoot up there. And what if I have to move to Vancouver? I'm like, no, if you don't want to move to Vancouver, don't move to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Like, she was putting this big obstacle in her way and just stressing. She was really, really upset about this idea that her acting career might jeopardize the life she was enjoying living in Los Angeles. And I'm like, well, no, you just say no to that job. Like, you're setting it up so that your what you're doing for the money, the job, is going to jeopardize your career. I never looked at it that way.
Wow.
I was like, you know what? I need a job for money to pay the rent. And I'm just going to assume that the universe is going to work it out so that it just doesn't really conflict with my acting career. I was a professional organizer, and I would tell my clients, like, look, I might get an audition and I might have to leave an appointment. That only happened to me twice. And it happened with really awesome, when I was working with really good clients that I'd worked with for a long time. So they were like, oh my God, go. One was an actress. She's like, go, go, go. It wasn't, I never did it like a first session with a new client.
Wow.
You know, I just let the universe be my secretary. And I was like, please, please let this work out so I can do this and not have it interfere so much with acting.
Mm-hmm.
But had I started to get a lot of auditions and it was just always disrupting the organizing, I would have figured out something else. Maybe I only work nights organizing or only on the weekends. Like, there's a lot of things that you can do, but I feel like you have to go forward with the most positive attitude. Deal with the problems as they arise.
Okay.
Instead of trying to put all of the puzzle pieces in perfect place.
Yeah.
Perfect job that gives me maximum flexibility. Do you know how many artists under earn because they're like, well, I can't take any job because it could interfere with the auditions I'm not getting. And it's like, why don't you just get a great job that pays money and then deal with it?
Oh, that's hilarious. When I hear it from you, that is hilarious. And that's exactly how I've been thinking. And I've made it very special because I have what seems like a mountain of debt that I'm vanishing. So the job has to be unusual and hard to get, and therefore I don't want to leave it. Like, I've put this whole narrative together.
Yeah. That's a story that does not serve you.
Right. Right. Okay.
I'd like you to get a job that doesn't drain you of all of your energy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, close, so there's not a huge commute, that pays you decent. It doesn't have to pay you great. It just has to start bringing in income, because you can get a job. Because what you wrote in this note to me, it's like, oh, I need a job to, like, you know, start taking away my debt. It's like, right now you need a job to cover your bills every month. So not phase one. We have to do this in phases.
Okay.
Phase one is, I don't want to add to my debt. I need enough income to come in so I'm not adding to the debt. Then maybe I negotiate a raise. Maybe I get another job that I get a little more money, and then I can start paying off the debt.
Okay. Okay.
But you're at the thing where we don't want you putting more money on credit cards and adding to the debt.
Right.
So you need income.
Yep. Yeah.
Something virtual, something low commute that just starts paying you.
Okay.
and doesn't use every single one of your brain cells.
Yes. Okay.
Whew, and then you can up level from there.
Got it. Yeah, got it. Mm. The stress level of my credit card debt, I managed to get it all at 0%. And now I like hear this clock ticking, which I never heard before. I mean, thanks to being in this class, I'm more awake. So now I'm like, every second that I'm not bringing in cash is less time to pay off the 0%. And then it's going to go to 23 by 29. And so my anxiety is up because the stories are all kicked up. So this is very important conversation.
Yeah. Okay. And there's something to be said for a little fire under your feet.
Oh, it's there. Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah.
But you're still, you know, you're not going to get kicked out of where you live.
Correct.
You still have a stable roof over your head. Don't have that, like, I got to get this shit together because I'm going to, you know, get kicked
out
of the
street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good because that is super stressful.
Yeah.
But it's good that you have a clock ticking somewhere.
Okay.
Especially for someone like you, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but you can spin a story that holds you in this little web of inaction. So anything that helps you break into action is great.
Okay.
And you're having to make the shift that you're actually making right now is from reactive to proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the life of an artist can be very reactive.
Yes.
I get an audition, then I do the thing.
Correct.
Something fell into my lap and then I do the thing.
Right.
But you're now shifting into like, I'm going to go out and actually bring this into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that just feels, you know, uncomfortable. And that's okay though.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get so strong. And no matter what is happening with your family, and I know a little bit about, not recently, but I do know this stuff is more important than that.
This is stuff?
Your stuff. Mm-hmm. This stuff is more important.
Yep.
This is your life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all going to happen and you can contribute toward it as need be. But this is more important. This is the rest of your life, this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Elena on QuickBooks is more important than all of this stuff.
Whew.
The Elena and the QuickBook things is going to help you with taxes every single year for the rest of your life.
Mazeballs.
Knowing your number, seeing the income come in, seeing the debt go down, seeing that as data.
Mm-hmm.
Will then be something you can use for the rest of your life.
Okay.
This is actually going to come and go and ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
But this stuff is the foundation. And you have the story I kept telling myself, because there were days where I was like, oh my God, I work in a copy store. Like, this is really, you know? But I was like, this is part of my acting. Every minute I'm doing this is for acting and will lead to acting.
Got it.
Or my career, whatever that was going to be. Every minute you work on QuickBooks is acting. Okay. It's all in the same flower pot. Mm-hmm. It's all feeding into your career.
Okay.
I would tell myself stories of like washing dishes. How does washing dishes help my career? How does this help my career? I wanted everything in my life to be connected to my career so that I wasn't super unhappy doing all of the other stuff life required.
Yeah.
Because if you think of your life as everything's planted in separate flower pots and you having to do the dishes is taking away from your career and you having to do this is taking away from your career and you just picture your whole life as siphoning all the juice out of your time and energy to put towards your career. It's like, you know, in the beginning, especially, or when we're rebuilding as you are, not a lot is directly connected to our career.
Mm.
So I started to tell the story how everything in my life, because I was a performer And that's what I wanted to do. And everything in my life was going to be set up to help me do it. When I'm sleeping, I'm working on my career. When I'm doing different And I wasn't kidding. Mm-hmm. But I had to keep dragging my brain back to that perspective.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I have had that experience. It was a long time ago when I was at a full-time job that I didn't like. I got very good at like running mantras and new thoughts all day as I was
all day with it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All day.
Yeah.
And that is the easiest way to move out of a situation. The easiest way to move out of a situation, a house you don't like, a job you don't like, a career you don't like, is to figure out why you like it, why it's serving you.
Mm.
Because once it's like, okay, I can live with this. I'm fine. It's good. I understand how it's serving me. Well, then the universe is like, oh, well, what else do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're okay here. But if you're just like, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. That's just a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. It ties into the second question.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we have time.
The second question?
It's about.
Yeah. What was it?
I feel like I feel like I'm aiming for the rafters here. Like I've never actively gone after like a six-figure job that wasn't performance. But I feel like that's where I'm setting my sights. I want to aim as high as possible.
That's phase two. That's yeah, I know.
No, aim I need to hear it again. Okay.
Aim as high as possible. That's lovely. Going into a six-figure job usually requires some sort of skill set.
Yes, of course.
That is valued
yes.
at that price. A skill set that can bring in and add to the bottom line in that percentage of the pie.
Yes.
And that is definitely phase two because a higher level of income will help you pay off your debt. But right now you need money in, so we're not adding to the debt. Just get a job. Just get a job.
Okay.
So give yourself a set amount of time. Mm. I'm going to spend this many hours a week looking, assessing, and then just figuring out in the local neighborhood or virtual stuff, what can I do that will bring in some money?
Okay.
So that all my bills will be paid every single month and I'm not adding to my debt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once you're there, we can have a conversation about a higher level job.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yes. Good. So yes. Good. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. This is all super fabulous growth.
Yikes.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You're Take welcome.
It. Take it.
Thanks, Karen Eileen. Always good to see you. Carolyn Johnson. Carolyn is a cash flow tiger. Yes. All right. Victory, you told a school that you could work for more money than they were looking to spend. Good for you. Just that ask is a victory for sure. You have a verbal offer, but you still don't have solid money or contract. But didn't want to be resentful for working a lot for not a lot of money. Yeah, that is success. You asking for what you want is a victory. You can't control whether you get it or not, but you certainly won't get it if you don't ask. So that's sort of in play right now. So here's what you wrote. I hired a social media person to do a few posts weekly on Instagram and Facebook. We've gained visibility, not a lot of engagement or cash flow through that, though my peak season is late summer and fall. Most of my work comes through referrals from past clients. What other marketing should I try? We will talk about that. And then you were like, I don't believe I can afford to hire help or that it won't create more work for me. But I know I could be generating more cash flow if I didn't have to spend hours and days on IT, marketing, scheduling issues, areas that drain my energy and don't directly lead to cash flow. So what are the kind of things that you're doing for yourself, like IT, scheduling stuff? What is that stuff that you would love to offload?
So this year I had an unusual amount of, I had some malware hacker that was posting as an admin. So on, I do educational work. So I deal with a lot of families, and they were posting, like, it wasn't porn, but it was adult, like adult content, like hot girls from all different countries. So I spent like a day on the phone with Bluehost and then Verizon, and then purchased something to protect the website, then purchased something to protect the IP address, because there are 27 people were using my address, or 27 entities. So there was just like, there was like a month of a lot of time I spent on IT. And then people said, you need to start all over. You'll never get rid of the little things they put in your website, bugs or whatever. So you need to create a new website and point it and get a new server, because Bluehost can't keep up with all their business. And so like everything was like thousands, like all these thousands that I could spend. So I did some things, but I didn't do the whole big thing yet. I'm still waiting for someone I trust to give me her quote. But she's taken months literally to give me her quote. So she designed my website in the first place. So just all that stuff. And like I have WordPress, and I find it to be a pain. I'm fairly savvy technically, but WordPress, just like making a new page or adding, like trying to update and throw some workshops up, because I don't often have a lot of lead time. I try to have a couple of weeks, but then I'll kind of think of it and want to post it, and then I can't, because it just screws up my, you know, it'll screw up a page or not work that I want to. So I had somebody doing that for a while, and she's just sort of disappeared. She's not responding. She might be afraid of my malware. but my site is cleaned. My IP address is cleaned. I got a new router. But it's that, like, I mean, I just spent endless hours. So the whole day would be wasted because I was, you know, figuring that out. So I wish I was more savvy, or I had somebody that I could just go, can you just do this? So that's one thing. And then like I have Calendly, I really don't use it. I end up on the phone with everyone, or emailing back and forth, or texting back and forth. Like, okay, teenage schedules, I don't know, they're crazier than adult schedules. I find just there's like these tiny little windows of opportunity, and I try to just Zoom with people, but sometimes I'll offer, like, the first time we meet, we'll meet in person, and then we'll work together for 10 hours at a time, like a package. So I feel like I spent too much time. Someone was on the last meeting, I think, talking about like coffee. She would have a lot of coffee. I feel like I do that on the phone sometimes. Like, they ask all these questions, and I'm like, I'm giving away too much. I guess that's an issue too. I wish somebody else was dealing with that. They always want to talk to me. But I'm not sure. Yeah. How to get the right help, or how to streamline, or, you know, I just feel like I need a staff, and yet I'm just not a big enough operation to have like an IT person and I have a social media person, but she does a couple of posts a week. So she's not like staff, you know, she's like a freelancer kind of.
So this, first of all, the tech stuff, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. You just aren't in business with technology for longer than 10 years without having some major shit happen that is costly. It's really the cost of doing business. It's like, sort of like, if you own a Prius, you've got to have $6,000 in the bank, because that battery is going to happen at some point. Like, it's just one of those things, but it's awful because it never, I mean, it's just always inconvenient, and it's just always, and it stops things, and you have to attend to it. Like, so I know the pain of that, and I'm really sorry you had to go through it.
Thank you.
So this is a conundrum that a lot of solo entrepreneurs, when they get up to a level, it's like, okay, things are kind of duct taped together and you're doing everything yourself, but you aren't sure you have enough money to actually bring in someone. So the first phase when you're like, I'm doing too much, everything's on my plate. The first phase is to tighten up your own situation. Because if you bring in an assistant right now, they're going to support you with the chaos.
Right.
Because most business owners are like, they just bring somebody in and then shove stuff and go make it better. But it doesn't really. And there is a lot of things you can do to tighten things up without hiring someone. I know that you just cleaned up your website and that's fantastic, but it sounds like you're waiting on this person who usually helps you and you're waiting on to hear back. Wait for anybody. If someone doesn't get back to you, they're either too busy or don't want your business. And why would you want to work with someone like that anyway? Like you want someone responsive because you're hiring them to be responsive. So if they're not responsive at the beginning, they're not going to be suddenly responsive. So what if you moved your website onto a service like Squarespace, where it's like, and you can hire somebody off of, you know, Upwork. Does that have another different name? Fiverr. People are very versed in Squarespace and whatever other platform, Wix, Weebly, whatever. There's a lot of people who know how to put together a Squarespace website. And yeah, you're paying monthly for it, but you have to think about it. Like, that's only $25 a month. It's like paying $25 a month for your website assistant. Now you're paying Squarespace to keep the malware at bay and keep everything organized and keep it all updated and together. There's a lot of things you no longer have to do. Trust me, I have a WordPress website that I coded, not from scratch myself, but I do all of it just because I, you know, learned it from way back in the day where that was your only option. Mm-hmm. And then Squarespace comes along and I'm like, my God, the hours. So that is something that you could really simplify and it would look updated. Like it would look nice, modern.
So it would not be WordPress anymore?
Yeah. It would just be on a platform, and people in the chat can put in the other. I know it's Squarespace, Weebly, and Wix are the things that I have, but there might even be better ones out there of, like, you know, plug and play, put the little images and the little text boxes in order and it looks pretty. Get a template that you like and just plug in your stuff. So that's one thing to do. The other thing to tighten up is scheduling. One of the best things that improved my business the most is when I offloaded all of my scheduling to an assistant. That was a glorious, glorious day. But you know what I did before then? I created a fake assistant. I named her. She worked off of my same email, but it's amazing how people will be brief and clear when they're not talking to an assistant. It just is like, oh, you know, people send Kate shorter emails than they would send me. About scheduling. Like, it's amazing. And they also, if Kate says no, they just are like, oh, okay. Kate says no. Like, that the buck stops. They're not asking, well, can I talk to Christine? I mean, Kate will be like, well, I might ask Christine about that. So if you have to, if you can't afford an assistant and you feel for your own boundaries, you might want to put a buffer in place to not only hold yourself more accountable, but also keep your clients at arm's distance, create an assistant. Well, let me check with Carol and I'll get back to you on Tuesday. Great. Oh, sorry. She only works Tuesdays, Thursdays, and da, da, da. It's much easier for an assistant, real or fake, to hold your boundaries for you. Because when people are talking to you as a solopreneur, they're like, oh, she can shift everything because she's just making all this up anyway. So that's one thing you can do. The other
What do you call the assistant? Like
Make up a name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a great name for mine. Yeah, you just make up a lovely name. And when you're sending emails from them, you can just put a different signature line. You know, Sally Carthright, Carolyn Johnson's assistant.
Mm. From my email, from my business email.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. Or if you can, you can get, if you want to get a second email, assistant at blah, blah, blah. That's fine too. But I didn't do it. I just was like, I just pretended, oh, she was in my office and doing my email. I don't know. They're not going to ask. They're probably not even going to notice. You just start, hi, Jen. It's, you know, Elizabeth, Caroline's assistant here. Just wanted to double check with the schedule, like that kind of thing. Another thing is you can use a service, like really use a service. I just this year began a automated scheduling service called Paperbell. It's designed for coaches. I really like it. It was pretty easy to figure out. And you set up your packages and that can collect, you know, you can set up a little questionnaire that people answer. So you collect all their information. They automatically book, they automatically pay, and they automatically reschedule themselves. That's key.
Nice. Yeah.
The thing about it's not the scheduling, it's the rescheduling that kills
you. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I agree.
The first thing I did was a fake assistant. Then when I hired my first real assistant, she did all the scheduling and rescheduling, which was great. I just put stuff on my calendar and showed up for the meetings. And then now I've put this system in place so that my assistant now basically goes into the system and makes like customization things. If a certain client, we're kind of weaning people onto the system, but she'll create a special package if somebody needs something special. Mm-hmm. But still, then the client goes through the system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like, if you're like, this is my system, and this is how you schedule, and this is how you pay, and they can sign the contract right in the system. It's quite nice. And then this is how you reschedule. There's no need for them to ask you about anything. They have to use the system, and people usually comply.
Mm.
You know, if they want to work with you, this is the way you're doing it. It's not horrible. It's organized.
Yeah.
But then the other thing you can do is you have to sit down with yourself and go, I will no longer talk with people for more than 30 minutes at an intake session, like your own boundaries for you. I will not coach on intake. I don't coach on intake calls. The intake calls is like, are we a good match? Is what I have what you want? Do I like you? Do you like me? That's what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Not, well, what do you think? What schools do you think he should be? Like, and you have to get strong with your ability to reply. Those are great questions. And in fact, that's one of the first things we'll talk about when we start.
Yeah.
You hold steady. Right now you're very loosey-goosey and it's costing you money. Mm-hmm. All of those conversations is just your bottom line dripping away.
Yes.
So having an easier ability to not think about your website and be able to update it easier, but also when you use one of those platforms, there's people out there for cheap who know how to help you that you can hire just for a couple hours at a time who specialize on Squarespace. Like, great, do this. Great. It's like MailChimp. You can go find somebody if you need to set something up in MailChimp. You don't need them as an assistant forever. There are people who know how to use MailChimp really well. And you just hire them.
Yeah, I have MailChimp. I don't really use because I don't really know how to use it.
Yeah, I mean, this technology is also, and if you're paying for MailChimp, if you're paying for MailChimp and you don't really use it, ask yourself, is there just an easier way to do this? Do I actually need MailChimp? What am I using it for? Could I just have an email list of my clients? Like, you know, you have to really ask yourself with tech, do I need this? And is there a spreadsheet that could do this? And maybe an email service thing that is cheaper? What am I really using it for? And MailChimp, especially, their price keeps increasing because they keep making it a more robust platform. But I don't need that. And certainly, you know, I just want the minimum. But I have a lot of stuff loaded in there. So they're like, they have me and they know it. And it's like, all right. But still, when you think about it, $60 a month for MailChimp, that's like 1 hour for a high-priced assistant. You know, 1 hour a month for an assistant to take care of my email. Okay, I can, that you have to think of it in terms like that. But you also don't want to have this long list of technology that you're paying for that you're not using. So cut and tighten your boundaries. And once you get that sort of in place, then you can assess, okay, now, do I actually need someone on a recurring basis to be an assistant, or do I just keep hiring people piecemeal? So let's shift now and talk about your marketing.
Can I just, a question about paper bill. What's the best way to receive the cash? You said you get paid through PaperBell?
Yes. So PaperBell requires that you open a Stripe account.
Okay.
And PaperBell processes everything through Stripe, and Stripe dumps the money right into your bank account after they take their fee, which is, but it's a fine fee. It's less than PayPal.
Okay.
And so Stripe, you know, but there are people who, you know, there's lots of videos online too. Like, how do you do this in Stripe? I'm just, I mean, YouTube is your best assistant. How do you do this? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome. And here's the thing about social media. It's good to have it because when people hear about you, they often go to your social media before they go to your website to check you out to see if you're crazy. So your social media is there to assure them that you're not crazy. I've been in business this long. Look at all the clients I've worked with. Look at all the victories they've had. Look at all the school. Like, just here's my web. Everything you have on your website should appear on your social media. This is what I do. These are the victories, testimonials, clients. This is my services. And you don't have to be across all social media. You can pick one, but it's sort of like your secondary website. It is not necessarily going to bring in cash flow and clients. People hear about you and then they go to your social media and check you out. Occasionally, someone will find you on social media and that's how they get to you. But you shouldn't think of it as like, I got to post because I got to get business. And it's not really, because the algorithm is not working in your favor. No longer. It's crazy. So it's a secondary thing. You need some posts, but also you don't need to keep feeding it. If someone can go there and be like, oh, look, she has a business and she works with people and she's gotten them into schools. Yay. So if you have the time and the inclination, or you feel that it's worthwhile to keep it a little bit fresh every week, that's fine. But there's other things for you to be doing with your marketing to bring in clients. So if you get a lot of clients by referral, if that's a great source for you, then so your busy season starts in like August. All right. So now in June and July, you are emailing your former clients going, I'm getting ready. I'm getting my fall schedule in place. If you have a family that you think I should be working with, now would be a great time to let them know so I can get them on the schedule. I would hate for them to contact me in late September and there wouldn't be any space left. So you're doing a reach out to all of your former clients and saying, okay. And then your job every year, really, in this sort of downish time, when you're not being hacked, is to find other sources of referrals. Mm-hmm. Who, aside from your clients, works with kids who are about to go to college who don't do what you do, but could go like, oh, you should talk to Caroline. You should talk to Caroline. Who could pass people on to you? Give me an example of somebody.
I mean, one of my best sources also is a guidance counselor, a college counselor at a private girls high school. But when I've reached out to other high schools, like the public schools say they're not allowed to do that, that they offer that service and they're not supposed to say, we don't do it well enough, you need Caroline. So public schools, it would have to be informal. So that's been more, the other good thing is like the moms groups on Facebook. So someone will ask who can help write the essays and they'll say, Caroline. And that's often a good source.
Yeah.
But that's also referrals, but it kind of happens through Facebook.
Yeah. But the idea is for you to go in and not necessarily like pitch yourself, but just being like, hey, I'm open for questions if you have any regarding, you know, this is what I help. Like if you're offering that or another good way when you can't post about your business in groups is to ask questions. Guys, I'm thinking of, I run a college counseling service. I've been in business for 20 years and I'm thinking about moving my website to a new, what would you recommend, Squarespace or Blot? So that's an opportunity. You're just asking for referrals, but I'm going to actually mention my business to you. So asking questions and slipping your business in there.
Right. Or
I have these two pictures I'm thinking for my website. Which one do you like better? Like stuff like that. Anything where you can mention your business. Going to the counselors at the private schools. Forget the public schools. Don't worry about them. We're looking. You are a heat seeking missile for potential clients. So go where it's hottest. Reach out, reach. That is what June and July is for. Just reaching out. And it's a great thing. I'm contacting you for two reasons. One, I just want to let you know I exist. I specialize in this and this. When kids are like this, like what sets you apart from other ones or how should they file you in their brain? I do this and this and this. And then I want to let you know I exist. And the second reason is, you know, my schedule starts to fill up in the fall. So I'm reaching out because if you have someone who might be a good fit for me, I would want to get them on my schedule now. So yay, another might be therapists who work with kids because it can be very stressful, the whole getting into college thing. And you can just reach out to therapists and go, look, I know you work with families and or teenagers, especially ones that specialize in teenagers. And this can be such a source of stress that you might not be able, you know, to walk someone through, but I specialize in helping highly anxious kids get into college like that, you know?
Yeah.
So that might be a good referral source as well. But it's sort of like setting a metric for yourself. Okay. I am going to try to connect with 25 new referral sources before the August busy season starts. And then you just do that.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you have a list of people who, not the past clients, but you know, if you have any people on your list who you haven't worked with yet, it's hammering them. Hey guys, I fill up fast. You know, there's the worst thing. It makes my heart hurt so bad when families come to me and they want to work and I cannot work with them. It's important to get on the schedule now. It's not just me. It's all college counselors. This is our busy season and we can only work with so many people. So if you want to have a conversation, here's where you can go to schedule the free call. Schedule it. Don't call me. Schedule the free call.
And that service, Paper Bell, will that handle my free calls?
Yeah. So but like, I like Paper Bell. I've looked at a lot of these different scheduling services and I had found one that really, really fit the bill for like a coach. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just know of the woman who created it. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like it so far. I think it's going to work well. Yeah. So I would
Great.
That. Yeah.
Great.
Good job.
All right. This is all really helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Very welcome. You're very welcome. And I hope you hear back from the school and it's favorable. That would be nice.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. April Sugarman, Cashflow Kitten, wants to discuss packages and creating that opening the doors moment. So what is up? Did you decide on a name for your biz, your offering? Yeah.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi. I raised my hand, but it was for this. So I'm going to lower my hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I was reading the chat and Kate said, raise your hand. So I did. But not to me, but you know, I just did. yes. So my business, a lot has changed since I spoke to you. My business is officially called Enchanted Energetics. Enchanted Energetics. And my initial plan was crystal healing therapy sessions, intuitive readings, and astrology readings. And I've been doing a lot of astrology studying lately. And I was realizing that with the crystal therapy sessions, healing sessions over Zoom, which I do love and I could totally do, there's a limit. You know, I'm only one person. I can only do so many sessions and I can only charge so much. And I can only help, I can only help people so much in an hour or whatever. So I was thinking maybe astrology is maybe should be more my focus. I keep thinking because we've talked to Miata. And also you mostly probably said this too about creating packages so you can scale your business. And so I was thinking about astrology as the way in, and I could still offer like a crystal healing session as an option, like a one-off, and I can incorporate that with an intuitive reading instead of being a separate thing. So I can kind of make it a little bit more special than just a crystal healing session. But I came up with some package ideas for my astrology that I love. And so I have two packages. One of them I call Planetary Parenting. And I already got the domain name and I'm in the process of trademarking the name. And so that package includes like, it's really for like a family of four, and it includes four natal charts so everybody can learn about themselves. That's like sometimes called a personality reading. It also, so when I say it's four charts, that's four sessions because you wouldn't do it all at once. So it includes those four sessions plus what's called synastry or relationship astrology. So it would be the relationship of the two parents to each, the parent to parent, and then the parent to each kid, and then the kid to the kid. So they can understand the family dynamics better, like how each person, like where there might be challenges and this and that. Mm-hmm. So this would be coming at parenting from a completely not professionally trained parenting person, but from an astrology point of view. Mm-hmm. And then I can also do like, if they wanted, I can do some like, they can come to me with issues or things they're concerned about after we've gone through all this, and we can work through like based on the charts, like what I can do to help them. Mm-hmm. So that was one idea. The other package is called Stars and Strategy. I love brainstorming business stuff. So that's really going to be predictive astrology. And it's all about like when to open your doors and when to do a marketing offer or whatever like that. And it'll be based on like the moon, the eclipses, transits, a zillion different things. So I'm super excited about it. And now that one, oh, so the other thing was the planetary parenting would include the package, would be like a 6-month package, which would allow them to do a session every other week. So it includes about a lot of sessions, like 10 sessions. And it would give them a time frame of 6 months so that like it doesn't go on forever. But, mm-hmm. you know, with families, it gives them hopefully enough time to schedule. Mm-hmm. And it would also include one 15-minute emergency session per month. So like if a question came up, like when I say emergency, like not a whole hour is dedicated to it. Like, you know, we're struggling with this. Do you have any suggestions? Like mm-hmm. what can so-and-so do? And then the stars and strategy also got that domain name and trademarking and the whole deal. That one would be like either a 6-month or a 12-month package. And that would include like, I can do a chart for the business and I can do, or I could, you know, based on the business and them, I can, there's a whole series of ways to go at it. And then that one would include what I call 2 15-minute emergency sessions per month in case they had a business question come up, like an idea or something, or struggling with something. And I thought that was the emergency sessions were ways I could create added value because I'm pretty sure astrologers don't offer like a 15-minute emergency session. So I'm trying to like create a package that is going to be something that's going to be valuable. Like I can charge enough and make it valuable enough. Now, I don't know, like, in this case, I don't need to sell a lot of the packages as long as they're priced right. Mm-hmm. However, so I am planning on opening my doors on June 21st, like around noon, Los Angeles time, because according to my chart, that's when I should open my business. Okay. So I'm wondering a couple of things is how to open my doors. Like, do I want to host an event, like an in-person thing? Do I want to like throw a video up on TikTok? Do I want to send an email out to friends? I mean, I could do all of the above, I get, mm-hmm. but I mean, like what would make sense? And then the thing of it is, since I haven't had any clients with any of these packages yet, I thought, because right now I've been building up my skill set by doing free mini sessions. So mm-hmm. I have an Acuity account, so I don't schedule anything. Acuity schedules everything for me, and that's been great. Since that's the kind of stuff I've been doing, I thought maybe I should at this point start with the individual sessions. And then like my husband, as you know, highly quiet. Sorry if the dog's barking. Okay. And I thought I would use my stars and strategy program to help him. And then at least I help him. And it's also evidence it works. Plus I use it for myself. So, because I figure I've got to also increase my credibility if I'm going to be offering these big packages. So I could also do some of the stuff included. The big packages are really a combination of all the individual things I can do for people. So I've done kind of all of those things mm-hmm. on individual calls. Mm-hmm. So I was just creating like it in a mm-hmm. pretty box with a bow and the whole thing. So, and also for them to have less to think about. It's like, I'm signing up for this or I'm signing up for that. Like less choices makes less confusion. So that was what I was kind of wanting to know, like how to open the doors if you concur with me or if you feel differently or what your thoughts are about starting with just the individual sessions versus the packages. And I wanted to talk to you about my price point as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I definitely think you should have individual sessions.
Okay. Because, to start out. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it will allow you to get testimonials. it just will allow you to bring the cash in. It's just an easy decision for people. Okay. Plus, it gives something for people who don't necessarily have a business or a family, but who just want to have a cool reading.
You know?
And you can always go back to all of those individual people on their birthdays. Oh, your birthday.
Right. That's like a solar trip. That's my birthday package. Yeah. I've got like, and I can do like people who are planning on getting married. Like, when's the best day and time to get married? I mean, there's a zillion things I can do. So, okay.
So I would think of the rest of this year as really the launch of your business. Okay. So on June, you're going to announce Enchanted Energetics. I am open for business, single sessions. And you in the next June, July, August, September, try to book as many single sessions as you can.
Okay.
Just as many as you can. Then at the beginning of October, you can have another launch and talk about.
That's a good timing, actually.
One of your packages. I'm adding planetary parenting.
Okay.
Then after Thanksgiving, you can have a third announcement of Stars and Strategy. Hey guys, New Year's coming up. Your business, or you have a new business idea. People are really thinking about business at the end of the year as well. So you're not announcing. So you're dragging this thing out and creating a lot of excuses to talk about your business.
Got it. Okay.
And what's great is that the effort that you and the outreach that you do to get as many of those private clients as possible. Now there's many more people who know about you. Now you have more people on your list to come back to and announce the packages to.
Right. Okay.
And that's how I would do it. I would think of this whole year as the launch of your business. You're just doing it in three phases.
Okay. I mean, I can always tie, I can always do a monthly promotion, like a push or an advertising theme based on whatever's going on, you know, whatever holiday, whatever season, whatever, ever, it's all can do it. The eclipse coming up, 100%. There's a zillion things.
You need to be talking about this whole business all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the time.
Okay.
Every excuse in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
but go ahead. When you're leading up, like, so you announce planetary parenting, then that whole month of October is just talking about how astrology and families, what this knowledge, how you could use it in your family, what problems it might be able to offer some relief from, you know, getting to know the personalities of your kids. And because every child has a different, every sibling has a different set of parents.
Right.
Parents are different for every.
Right. Yes. They relate to each other differently.
Think about that.
Right.
Think about that. Yeah. And there can be so much peace when you understand, oh, this is just like how we're wired, how we're put together. So I don't have to take that personally, or I can kind of predict how my kid might react to something. Like, it's really lovely. Astrology and the Enneagram really can help families a lot, I believe. Yeah. So that's how I would do that. So what price points are you thinking?
Well, so when I was looking at a couple of things, I could charge more for certain kinds of readings, but I thought it was just easier to charge the same across the board.
For now.
Because like the relationship readings are a lot more time intensive, and some of the predictive stuff can be more time intensive. So, and I do notice like my mini readings were 25 minutes long, because there are mini ones with 5 minute breaks in between, which I went over and kept talking. So I got no breaks, and I'd go from one to the other, and it was really hard. So I decided, what if I did a 45 minute session with a 15 minute break in between? Mm-hmm. And so to start with the individual sessions because mm-hmm. I could do that in 45 mm-hmm. and charge $200 for that. Mm-hmm. And then when I eventually move into a 60 minute session, because my packages anticipate being 60 minutes in length, I could raise my rates to like $250, which is actually less than what, you know, it's like it's a better deal than the $200, I guess, in a way.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I could keep a 45 minute session for $200. I just don't know. But I don't know right now if that's enough time, a 45 minute session. And
okay. So two things.
Yeah.
First thing, it's not about, I don't think the question you should ask is if that's enough time, because okay. technically you were doing 25 minute readings.
Right.
You were going over. You right. have to decide on the time container and then fit it in.
Right.
Be able to fit all of it in.
Right.
That your job is to prioritize and decide, okay, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about this and it's going to fit in 45 minutes.
Okay.
It's like your therapy session is 50 minutes. Doesn't solve everything, but it's 50 minutes. That's the container.
Okay.
Just the container. So I would go by the container, but you are going to have the same problem at 45 minutes as you had at 25 minutes, guaranteed.
Oh yeah. It'll be hard to stop. You are
going to have to get good. It's yeah. You're thinking, oh, well, I'll need more time. No, you won't stop at 90 minutes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Use timers.
Yeah.
With a lovely chime that chimes. Mm. We have 10 minutes left. Do you have any burning questions? Is there something I haven't touched on? Or we have 10 minutes left. I'm going to dive into this one last thing I want you to know.
Okay.
So, chime that goes off at 10 minutes till, and then you have a chime that goes off at the end. You're like, okay, that is where the stars are leaving us today.
Okay. All right. So you're saying I just need to decide if I want it to be 45 minutes or 60 minutes.
Yeah, I would do 45 because then it's easier for you to schedule because you do get that 15 minute.
I have it on the hour and then I can fit more in the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I mean, I'm good with that. And that price point is kind of like what my teacher has been saying. Like she was like, people undercharge all the time. And I think she'd be fine with that. Then how do I open my doors? Do I do all those things at the same time?
Yes. My advice to you is you do everything you can think of that okay. costs you no money.
Okay.
No event. Social media, TikTok, emails out to everybody. And it's June 21st is a what? Day of the week.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's Wednesday in the middle of the day.
Yeah. So you're going to do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a 4-day. April's going to shove this down your throat. Extravaganza. Okay. You announce okay. it on Wednesday. On Thursday, you talk about why you love this so much. On Friday, and maybe you do a raffle or something for a free session. And that's something that you're talking about Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then you pull the raffle on Saturday.
And then Saturday, do the raffle.
Yeah. And what you do is you go hop on it. Here's where you sign in for the raffle and you just have an email opt-in. So people give you their name and email.
Okay.
And then... Yeah. You have a little mailing list at the end of, even if it's like 12 people. And then one of those 12 people, you make a video of you having all the names in a bowl and you pull the name out live on camera and read it. So they know it's legit. And there's another reason you send that email out to all the people on the list. Okay, you guys, here's a video that announces the winner. Watch it to see if it's you. And then that person, you then send them a link to schedule.
Okay.
You get a testimonial from them.
Okay.
And then maybe you do if it, the reading goes well and they're like, oh my God, this was great, maybe you can put the camera on and just have them do like, oh my gosh, I got my free reading and it was amazing. And then you send that video out to all the people who didn't win and say, just, you know, if you book in June, I'll give you a discount. It'll be $180 for their session. So see, you're working that list. You create the list by offering them a free session. You get a testimonial, hopefully, from that free session. You send that back out. And then you send out another offer and be like, hey, guys, just so you know, I'm giving you all, thank you for joining the raffle. You're getting all a special discount. You don't tell them that before. You tell them that after. You're just making excuses to keep talking to them.
Okay. And then, so if I do something like the TikTok, that's like going to whoever, you know, I mean, there's like, that's potential. I mean, I don't have control over who sees that. I can email my friends and let them know.
Yeah.
And then also have like, and the email's an opt out. I know everybody does that. And then I also am in a Facebook group with people in my crystal community that are not astrologers. And that's how I got some of my volunteers. So put a post there announcing I'm opening my doors. Okay.
And the thing about social media, one TikTok post, you know, 10 TikTok posts over the course of 4 days.
Okay. Okay.
Because then if someone hears about you and goes to check you out on TikTok, they can have 10 videos that sort of explain, oh, who you are and why you're doing this biz and what it's about and who you do and what's this perfect for. And you also need to tell, so Wednesday, you announce your business and you announce the raffle. Friday, you talk about like why you're doing this. Saturday, you share with people, this is when you should use me. Like, what is an astrology reading good for? Like, a personal astrology reading, what's it good for? Well, if you're starting your year, some people's years start on their birthday. Some people's years start calendar years. Some people just have a big event and they just feel like they're launching into a new chapter, starting a chapter, finishing a chapter, you know, a milestone in your personal life, a milestone in your business. Like, give them ideas of like, oh yeah, that's
why they would want to do a reading.
Yeah.
Plant
seeds.
Okay. And okay. So, all right. And so then on my website, again, I don't want to overwhelm with too many options. I'm not going to put in the crystal healing session and the intuitive reading right now, I think.
Nope. I would pull introduce those in January, maybe.
Okay. So just leave the astrology. And then since I'm doing individual sessions, I would do the birthday package, which is the solar return chart. I could do what's in the stars. I have the names of packages, like the birthday package, what's in the stars, which is
those
about,
are all 200, 200, 200, 200.
Yeah. And that'll be like, what's going on for you this year? Thanks. So three options. And then maybe I could do a synastry one that one might, I might, would I charge more for that? Like make that a double session or like, what do you think? Just leave it the same for now.
What is synastry?
It's the relationship one. So I'd need both people on the phone and the two natal charts. I'm looking at
if it's two people, it should be like, you know, 390.
Okay.
380.
Okay. All right. So for the synastry, but make it also a longer session.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Because I think I'll need that. So if I could do 45 minutes for the other people, I would definitely need a longer session for that.
That's totally understandable.
Okay. So those are my three options, really.
Love it.
Okay. Got it. All right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
If anybody on here wants to find out more, it's enchantedenergetics.com.
Get on our mailing list.
I'm still like figuring out my website. I did like a placeholder page that was just so random and nothing is attached to it. So there's no links, but I'm going to get that all together. So I got my work cut out for me.
It's great. Right. But
yeah,
this is really sounding good. You came and it just all sounds very clear.
Yeah.
Clean, good price point.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Thanks, Kate. Well done. Thank you.
Lydia, did you have a quickie? I saw your hand up, but I know you took your hand down.
Hello. I know we're at time, though, so I'm happy to just submit it. And
okay. You can do that, too. All right. Yay. All right. So we'll dig into it in depth on either next Monday or the following Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Nice. Bye, guys. Yeah. Nice to see you, too. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, Christine. You're welcome. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks.